James chapter 4 is where we're at tonight. James chapter 4. Church family, several things going on as far as the property. Again, I appreciate Brother Ford leading up the cleaning up of the trees and all that. There's a lot there. And then if you notice, there's stuff on the roof. They're actually trying to replace the ridge cap on this particular roof right now. And we'll talk more about that. But it's just something you can tell. We've had some leaks. We've had some for quite some time. And so they're replacing the ridge cap for that. And then I think there's something else going on besides that ridge cap. What was it? Windows. Windows start in December. We went ahead and we talked to you about that, but they're going to replace all the windows in the educational building the next door, and that will start here in December, if I remember correctly, or here shortly. And so just several things. And, of course, the upstairs, we still want to get the upstairs finished as well. And, again, that's just kind of some ongoing projects that are going on. If you would like to help with any of that, please see Brother Daniels, and he'll definitely get you going. Church, I'm going to continue through James chapter 4 tonight, if you don't mind. I know we do it on Wednesday evening. We won't pick it up where we left off. We did the last message was James chapter 4, verses number 1 through down verse number 12. I want to look at the end of the chapter tonight, verse number 13 through 18. James chapter 4, verse number 13 through 18. So let's go ahead and read that together first. The Bible says, "Go to now," James chapter 4, verse 13. "Go to now, ye that say today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time, and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now ye rejoice in your boastings, all such rejoicing is evil. Therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin." And church, your key phrase is verse 15, and it all really comes together with that thought tonight. Verse 15 says, "For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will." And so we're going to look at that together tonight. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for your word. Please again, give us the words to say tonight. Lord, may you be pleased and honored and glorified. And Lord, what an opportunity to be able to look at your word. And we can sit in a free country and hold a Bible in our hand, hear the word spoken. Lord, be able to pray. And Lord, again, to have access to your throne that you might speak to our hearts. Lord, would you do that tonight? Lord, again, thank you for the song that was just sung. We don't deserve such grace. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness to us. Father, again, bless your people. Lord, tonight, again, think of again, Howard Cooper and his wife. Lord, again, protect them. Lord, help, again, if they're injured in any way, would you please help the family and, again, encourage and strengthen them. Help Mrs. Smith tonight and the family as they prepare for the funeral of her mother as well. And, Lord, thank you again for your grace. Lord, please give it to us tonight. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Church family, in James number 4, James, of course, is talking to those who are saved. Okay, we understand that from chapter number 1, where he's talking about to those who were saved of the 12 tribes of Israel. So he's talking to the saved Jews. Church family, it applies to us because we're saved as well. All right, it doesn't matter if you're Jew or Gentile. We're all saved the same way. It's through faith in Jesus Christ. But in James chapter 4, we looked at the very first phrase where it says, "From whence come wars and fightings among you?" And church family, when you read, I feel like that the first phrase really goes down through verse number 12 of, you know, what to do to be able to get through the quarrels, the fights, the strifes as far as our life. And we understood from the last, I think it was Wednesday night, we talked about it's the lust of our flesh. It's what's going on inside of us. The problem is not, for the most part, outward. The problem, for the most part, is inward because of our own flesh wanting to take care of a problem. And, of course, he tells us how to take care of that problem. And he talks about friendship of the world, verse number 4, down to verse number 10, and what we're supposed to do concerning that as far as, you know, finding grace or not having pride in our life so God can show grace to us. And, of course, submitting ourselves to God and resisting the devil and then drawing nigh to God in verse number 8. Then in the last verse 11 and 12, the last few verses of that thought, was not speaking evil of the brethren or of brothers and sisters in Christ. And I want to tell you something. We receive what we sow. When we're critical of others, we get criticized. When we are hurtful to others, we get hurt. And so God says, from whence come wars and fightings? Sometimes they're brought on ourselves because of what we say about other people. Now, he changes the thought in verse number 13 through 17. Verse 13 through 17, when he starts with those first three words in verse number 13, "Go to now," all right? It's almost like a behold now. It's like a change of a thought as far as where James is going with this group of believers, all right? Now, verse 13, 14, 15, 16, and 17 go together. And the reason they go together is because of that one phrase in verse number 15, if the Lord will. Now, church, let me look at your Bible. Let me point some things out, and then we'll talk about these for just briefly tonight. But look at verse number 13 again with me. He says, "Go to now, ye that say." All right. Now, church, let me look at the first phrase in verse number 15. "For that ye ought to say." All right. So verse number 13 is saying, okay, this is what you're saying out of your lips. And then in verse number 15, this is what you should be saying with your lips. All right. Now, with that, let's look at two other things that repeat themselves. Look at verse number 13 again. Go to now, ye that say today or tomorrow. Notice these two words. We will. In verse number 13, I circled it in red, actually. We will. Then you look down in verse number 15. It says, for that ye ought to say, and I circled in my Bible, if the Lord will. All right. So just, you know, we can see the contrast or the opposites that's going on here. Is James is talking to these saved believers. He said, listen, you're living your life based upon what you're going to do instead of living your life based upon what God wants you to do. In fact, it's really even a step farther than that. The concept is this. It was a very self-confident statement when they said, we will. And again, going to verse number 15, it should not be we will. It should be if the Lord will. My dad growing up oftentimes would make a statement and then he would say, Lord permitting. I never realized that it was very scriptural for us to make those kind of statements because it's a God consciousness that if this is going to happen, it's going to happen because God allows it to happen. All right. Mr. Simon, we know from what we say, and sometimes we use them as cliches, God's in control. God knows what he's doing. And Mr. Simon, those are not just cliches. Those are truths. Those are facts. God does. Man's goings are of the Lord. How can a man then understand his own way? We understand that God is in control of everything. But church, I mean, God wants us to be conscious of that statement. And how do we do that? We never say, I'm doing this tomorrow, or I'm going to take care of this. You say, Pastor, come on, this is very trivial. Church family, how trivial is it when James, under the inspiration of Scripture, said, this is what you're saying. We will. And let's look a little farther into this. All right. Look at verse 13. He says, go to now, ye that say today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Now, all of these phrases to me really give the indication that the person who makes the statement, they're in control. Now, again, I know that we can apply this any in a lot of different directions. But when he says today or tomorrow, I feel like that it's almost as if James is saying, you're saying it's your time, today or tomorrow. In other words, I'm in control of the clock. I'm in control of what happens today or tomorrow. He goes on to say, we will go into such a city. I think talking about a city would be a person's place or my home. I'll continue there a year, my plans. I'll buy and sell my possessions. I'll get gain, my money. The idea of James speaking to these people is that they were so almost proud about, okay, I'm in control of my life. Church family, the Christian is not in control of their life. God's in control of our lives. There are no accidents with God. We look at what happens to people. Abel had an accident. It was not an accident. God allowed that to happen. All right. Mrs. Anderson, she fell and she had an accident and broke her feet. She didn't have an accident. God allowed that to happen. All right. Now, I want to just remind all of us that what James is trying to say is the best way to stay God conscious is how we say, not we will, but if the Lord will. Now, that's the thought tonight. And we're going to look at that for just a few moments tonight. If the Lord will. Now, James here tells three things in this particular passage on why our statement should be not we will, but if the Lord will. Three things are mentioned in verse 13 through 17 of why we should be this way. Now, I want to tell you, as a Christian, I'm talking about me personally, I don't always make that statement. I'm conscious that there are no accidents with God when somebody comes by, when somebody says something. I feel like that I'm not like I should be, but I feel conscious that, okay, God, what are you trying to teach me? What are you trying to tell me? And I would imagine most in here would be somewhat that direction, that there are no accidents with God. Somebody cuts you off while you're driving. The light turns red at a particular time. That there's reasons for what happens in our life. But we understand God's in control of our life. But James says the best way to show that consciousness or to stay conscious of that is by what we say. All right? Now, church, all of us, if I was to ask you, what are you doing tomorrow? Well, I'm going to get this done. I'm going to get this done. I'm going to get this done. But truthfully, you don't know that you're going to get those things done. And that's what James is trying to stress here, is that our schedule is not our schedule. Our time is not our time. This buying and selling and getting gain, it's not our money. It's all about God in our life. All right. So if the Lord will, this particular word, when it says if the Lord will, it means if God or if he determines or he desires or he chooses or he prefers or he wishes or whatever God would rather happen in my life, it's if the Lord will. Paul made those statements several times throughout the scriptures, but he used different words. For instance, in 1 Corinthians 16, verse 7, he said, "For I will not see you now by the way, but I trust to tarry a while with you, if the Lord permit." Now, Jimmy, God's the sovereign God. He is the ruler of all. He is the one that dictates in our life. If somebody comes to me and says, "Well, I got a raise at work." You got a raise at work because there's a God in heaven. It's not because you're a good employee or because you got a nice manager. It's because there's a God in heaven that allows you to get that. Everything in life is allowed by God. And we understand that just from the book of Job, where Satan had to get permission from God just to attack Job. Alrighty? If you're going through the book of Revelation right now and you're going to institute class, you cannot help but see that the entire book of Revelation is about God being in control of everything. The Antichrist can't do one thing unless God lets the Antichrist do it. Amen. Satan himself, in the middle of we talked about this last Tuesday night, Satan himself will be cast out of heaven during the middle of the tribulation period, and he'll be cast out of heaven no longer to be the accuser of the brethren, going to and fro and standing before God in the middle of the tribulation period. You know why? Because God's in control. I'm just trying to get us to understand that our lives are that way, and we need to be conscious of this. Okay, I'm going to run to the store if the Lord permit. I'm going to go to the bank if the Lord permit. I'm going to go to my job if the Lord permit. James is saying that what comes out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Our words ought to show our consciousness of God by saying, "If the Lord permit." If the Lord permit. Can you say that with me? If the Lord permit. Say it again. If the Lord permit. That's what our lives are about. If it's God's will, if it's His desire, if it's His determination, if it's what He rathers, if the Lord permit. Three reasons why we're supposed to say this, okay? Church, I think you can see from the scripture that James says very specifically in verse number 15, "For that ye ought to say." All right, so this is something I'm supposed to say, if the Lord permit. All right, or if the Lord will, excuse me. We shall live and do this or that. All right, now here's what I want you to see. I want you to see the three things or three reasons why we're supposed to do that. First one's in verse number 14. You ready? I'll read verse 13 again. "Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain." Verse 14. "Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow." Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. All right, now church family, you know the proverb that goes with that. "Boast not thyself of, for thou knowest not what a day will bring forth." Hey, the reason we're supposed to be conscious of "if the Lord permit" is because we don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. We don't even know what's going to happen for the end of the service. All right. We understand that God wants us to realize that I'm not going to do what I want to do. We're going to do what God wants us to do. In the Sermon on the Mount, remember what Jesus said in Matthew 6, verse 34? "Take therefore no thought for the" what? "The morrow. For the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day that you're living, sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof." Now, what's he trying to say? He's trying to say, we've got enough problems today, we don't have to worry about tomorrow. And when we get to tomorrow, tomorrow will bring its own set of problems. All right? So, if there's one principle of this idea of "if the Lord permit," it's because we don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. Just like when we make statements, "I am going to do this tomorrow," it should be, "I'm going to do this tomorrow if the Lord permit." You say, I know what you're thinking. Some of you are thinking, come on, what kind of message is this? Church family, it's right there in the scripture. What are you going to do with it? James says very specifically that she ought to say. We need to start to get ourselves in a habit of realizing that when we say we're going to do something tomorrow, it's if the Lord permit. I'm going to go to work tomorrow. If the Lord permit. And you get yourself out of bed. I mean, if the Lord permit. Everything about tomorrow, we don't know what's going to happen. Isn't it interesting in the model prayer? He said, "Give us this day our daily bread." He didn't say give tomorrow's bread or next week's bread. He said, "Give us this day our daily bread." And I think the principle is God wants us to live our lives today. I have met so many discouraged Christians because of them wondering what's going to happen tomorrow. Just remember, you don't have to worry about tomorrow. Just live today. There's so many things that cause us in our life. I was just talking to somebody here just a moment ago, and they said, they were asking me, "What should we do if this happens?" I said, "It hadn't happened yet." How many have heard this from your own parents? If it ain't broken, don't what? Fix it. Christians try to fix things that are not broken because they're thinking about tomorrow. Now listen, God's not giving excuses for us not to plan Proverbs says, ponder the path of thy feet and let all thy ways be established. Ponder the path of thy feet and let all thy way, not step, all thy way be established. There's nothing wrong with planning. But church family, our focus for life should be about today. And if I'm going to plan for tomorrow, it's if the Lord permits. It's if the Lord permits. Can we say that again with me? If the Lord permit. Say it again. If the Lord permit. We have to start getting conscious of this idea of, I'm not doing what I'm going to do tomorrow. I'm going to do what I'm planning to do tomorrow if the Lord permits. So the first principle is, why should we say if the Lord permit? Is because we don't know what will be on the morrow. All right. Look at the next principle here. Verse number 14 again. He says, whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. All right. Now, church family, you probably figured out. I just got something up here that I'm hopefully will cause some steam for us. All right. There's not much there. All right. You see the steam? Okay. As long as you can see it, that's going to work. All right. Boiling water. All right. Some of you thought we were eating tonight. Okay. We're not. Okay. Boiling water. Now, just hear me. As long as I keep that thing on a hot plate, for the most part, you should see that steam coming off of here. God says, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. Now, I don't know if you see from where you're at, from where I'm at, but that vapor, it only goes so high and then it's gone. All right. That's our lives. We don't look at our lives like that, but that's exactly what it is. Psalm chapter 90, remember the Psalm chapter 90, verse number 12 says, so teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Did you ever notice, that's verse 12, that between verse number 1 down to verse number 11, he compares our life to several different things that's very short. Amen. He compares it to grass. Grass grows up, wintertime comes, grass is gone. He compares it to a shadow. Sun comes up, when the sun comes down, the shadow is gone. He compares it to several different things. And when you look to the scripture, the comparison of our life is more than just that. God compares our life to the morning, as far as when we get up in the morning, and at night, obviously, the day is gone. He compares our life to a day. You know, I want to tell you something. Our lives are, we look at our lives as it's a really, really long time. And we understand even from Psalm chapter 90 that God says, hey, listen, if he gives you 70, and by reason of strength, 80, we understand that God says, if you live to 70, that's great. If you live to 80, that's by reason of strength. That's good. We also know from Ecclesiastes chapter number 11 and chapter number 12 that Ecclesiastes chapter 12 is Solomon at his older age. And he talks about the losing his teeth and the shaking of his hands and talking about his legs not being able to lift him, talking about his back and talking about the silver cord being loose and how that we're going to die. And when we die, that we're going to be that our soul is going to go to heaven. Church, it's a short life. That's why in chapter number 12, verse number 1, he starts off with, remember now thy creator in the days of thy youth. Why? Because the evil days come. In fact, those evil days are called the days of darkness. Amen. That as we get older, we don't have that strength like we used to. Now, all he's trying to teach us here is this, is the reason we ought to say if the Lord will is, yes, number one, you don't know what's happening tomorrow. But number two, you should say if the Lord will, because you don't know how long you're going to live. So, I don't know if you noticed or not, but I think about these kind of things. You know, God's been very gracious to our church because truthfully, I haven't done very many funerals. In the scheme of things, after being here for almost 30, we have not done that many funerals at this church. God's allowed our people, I feel like, even to a longevity. Now, some things have surprised us as far as how God's taken some people home. And it was really kind of a surprise. I think Kirkland Smith, that was really a surprise to us. And God does those things. But God's been very gracious. We have not had a lot. But you know of people that have died in their youth and people who have died in their older years. We don't know when that last breath will be breathed. We don't know when that last step will be taken. But God has a number. He numbers our steps. He knows our breath. He knows when he's going to take us home to heaven. I was talking to Mrs. Smith yesterday again. I think we touched yesterday. I talked to her before. But her mom passing away. And again, if you'd have known Mrs. Longnecker, just a very sweet woman. God used her in a great way. In her upper years, she was doing Bible studies. She cared about people. But I want to tell you something. The only thing that we understand is 1 Thessalonians 4, how the only comfort we have, we know where she's at. We know that she's not struggling any longer. And, you know, as Christians, that's a wonderful thing. But can I just tell you, our daily life should be that same kind of thought. People say, you know, you think about death too much. You're very morbid. Just, I was just trying to tell you something. This thing's rotting. This body that you have, It's not just aging, it's rotting. It's going to be put in the grave and it will just decay is what's going to happen. We should live our lives in that idea of if the Lord will, His desire, His plan, what does God want for my life? It doesn't matter if you're 15 years old in here, you're not guaranteed 16. So I should live my life thinking about if the Lord will. What is God's will for my life? Amen. We understand what God's general will is. But you're showing me it's that perfect will that we don't always understand as far as those little things in life, as far as where He wants me to go and what He wants me to do and who He wants me to spend time with. But God has a perfect will. If the Lord will. So the reason I should say that is because I do not know how long I'm going to live. We look at the rich fool in Luke chapter number 12. And the rich fool had this idea that he was just going to live forever. He said, and I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Just remember, who is the one that requires? God's the one that requires. He's the one that gives life and takes life. When you look at Job, and of course he was going through all that trouble, he said, naked came out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and what? It's up to God. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints. God's the one that chooses whether or not He wants us in heaven or if He wants us on earth. If you're saved, thank God, that's the only place you can be, heaven and earth. There's something else that's interesting when you look in the context of Scripture, and to be honest with you, I would think that verse number 17 could be applied to the entire chapter or even all the principles that are mentioned in James's letter. But because it comes right after of verse 15, he ought to say, if the Lord will. And by the way, in verse number 16, when it says, but now ye rejoice in your boastings, all such rejoicing is evil. I drew an arrow from verse number 16 up to verse number 13, because verse 13 was their boasting. What was their boasting? Go to now, ye that say, what were they saying? Well, today or tomorrow, we'll go and to such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get. That was their boastings. So show me, in verse number 16, what's the last two words of verse number 16? He said, hey, listen, when you live your life saying, we will, we will, we will, God says, that's evil. Now, I'm just telling you, God's the one that says how bad this is. Now, look at the last verse. Often we use it for a lot of different things. But in the context of what's being spoken here is a person who says, we will, compared to a person who says, the Lord's will. He says, verse 17, therefore, to him that knoweth to do good, church family, what is the good between verse 13 and verse number 17? The good is when I say, if the Lord will. Say it with me, if the Lord will. Say it, if the Lord will. God says that when you plan your day tomorrow, well, I'm going to try to work on this, and I'm going to try to get the truck fixed, and I'm going to try to do this. When we add on to it with a conscious effort, with a conscious statement of, if the Lord will, God says, therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it's what? Now, church, I believe that verse covers everything. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. I feel like that verse is parallel with Luke chapter 12 and verse number 47, where it says that the servant who knew his Lord's will and did not do it would receive many stripes. I feel like they both go hand in hand, okay? In other words, when you know what God wants you to do and you don't do it, that's sin. But church family, in the context of these verses being grouped together, I feel like that he's making it very, very clear to us that when we live our lives based upon, I'm going to do this tomorrow, and I'm going to go to such a place tomorrow, and I'm going to buy this tomorrow, and I'm going to sell this tomorrow, and I'm going to make a profit on this tomorrow. When we don't add to that, if the Lord will, he said, your boasting's evil. He says, because you know to do good and you don't do it, it's sin. That's a pretty strong statement if you ask me. That God says to save Jews and we being saved believers that are Gentiles, when he says, hey, listen, when you are not conscious that you should be living based upon my expectation of life and not your want of life, that's sinful. That kind of talk is evil. You know, we would say evil being the adultery or fornication, or we'd say evil is cheating and lying, and we would say evil. We would call, you know what he calls it? Just not being conscious. If the Lord will. If the Lord will. Hey, listen, I want to tell you something. Everything that we do in life should be based upon whatever God's will is for the life. All righty? Just, I mean, Again, repetition sometimes is the key to learning. But we understand what God's general will is for our life. Romans 12, verse number 1 and 2, that I present my body a living sacrifice. He said that's his will. We understand that soul winning, witnessing is God's will. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 9. He's not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. We understand that it's our sanctification, 2 Thessalonians 3, verse number 5. He says, then this is the will of God, even your sanctification. What's sanctification? I think it's John 17, 17. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Amen. The more we're in the book, the more we live the sanctified life. When we're not in the book, the less we live the sanctified life. But what's the will of God for my life? My sanctification, my set apart from the world, my set apart from sin. How does that happen? The book. The more I put the book in. We understand what God's general will is. God's general will is that I serve, be his servant. God's general will is that I suffer for his sake. We understand it. What's God's will for our life? 1 Thessalonians 5, verse number 18. In everything give, for this is the... Just a minute, we know what God's general will is for our life. So with that said, God says, I want you to be conscious of that on a regular basis and stop saying what you're going to do. We will. No. If the Lord will. No. We will. No. If the Lord will. God says, I want you to stop saying what you're going to get done in a day. I want you to say what you're going to try to get done in a day, if the Lord will. Amen. And if we don't do that, our boasting's evil. Hey, I want to tell you something. I've been guilty of it. I don't know how many times. We're going to make this thing happen. I've been guilty of this. I don't know how many times. Okay, tomorrow, this is what we're going to get done. Now, we make those statements in innocency and the fact that, okay, we understand God is in control. But he's talking to, James is talking to these Christians to say, listen, stop talking like that. Amen. Your statement should be, God, if you allow, if it's your will, would you allow us to get this done tomorrow? Would you allow this to happen in our life? It's consciously seeking God's will. In all thy ways, and he shall... If it's the Lord's will. Amen. If it's the Lord's will. How many haven't had supper yet? Haven't had supper yet? How many's hoping to eat something after this service is over? If it's the Lord's will. Some of you are saying, it's God's will, I know. If it's the Lord's will. You know, so many times we think about God's will when it comes to big decisions in our life. Am I supposed to move? Am I supposed to take another job? Am I supposed to get married? We oftentimes look at God's will in such of the big areas of life. Church, let me think about it. He uses illustrations that are just so simple things of life. He says, you know, I'm going to go to such a city. I'm going to buy something. I'm going to sell something. It's not just the large things of life that we're supposed to be conscious. Okay, God, what's your will? No, he wants us to be conscious about today, because tomorrow hasn't come. If the Lord will, this is what we're doing tomorrow. Yeah. And you know why I'm going to say it's the Lord's will? Because I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. You know why you're going to say it's the Lord's will? Because you don't know how long you're going to live. Right. You know why you're going to say it's the Lord's will? Because if you don't, you're sinning. Yeah. Can you imagine that? It seems like such a small sin. God says, hey, don't live your life based upon what you think. Base your life on what I want. Amen. If the Lord will. Would you say those three words with me again, or four? Ready? If the Lord will. I want to tell you, it's going to take a little bit of work to start getting that conscious in your conversation. Because I'm going to tell you something. We've lived so long the same. I'm doing this tomorrow. I'm going to get this taken care of tomorrow. God wants us all to be conscious of, if the Lord will. Amen. You know, Dad's in heaven now, but I'm telling you, I cannot tell you how many times I heard him say, this is what you guys are going to do tomorrow, Lord permitting. I never understood that the reason he said it, because that's what Christians are supposed to do. Amen. Lord permitting, we're going to do this, if the Lord will. Would you bow your head and close your eyes tonight? James... Simple thought, but putting it into practice. Church, why don't you just ask the Lord to help you with this area that he wants you to be conscious of? If the Lord will. God, I'm not used to this. But God, help me to stop saying I will and we will. Help me to start saying if the Lord will. Let's all stand. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed.